Hi, everybody. This is Paul Lisnick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain, my opportunity to step away from the world of politics and law you watch me cover every day on television, to enter the world of fun, of arts, of theater, of food. And this is a great day to do it. Joining me now is one of the Chicago's most famous chefs. Of course, he's famous in a lot more places than Chicago, but we're fortunate enough to have several of his places in our city. We're going to talk about them. World-renowned chef Art Smith joins us. Chef Art, good to see you. Thank you.
Good to see you, too. Thank you very much, Paul.
You know, it always seems I'm bothering you when you're at WGN Studios on set and you're cooking something and I'm coming up and saying, I got to do a picture for this website. You don't even know what we had planned, but you always cooperated and helped out. And thank you for that.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Listen, for people who, I mean, everybody knows who you are, but for those who aren't sure, here's the thing. In Chicago, the restaurant we're going to talk about primarily, because I went and just really indulged myself over there, is Reunion at Navy Pier. But that's just one of a gazillion restaurants you have around the country and one of a few restaurants even in Chicago. I got to tell you that this was months ago, but I went to Blue Door Kitchen and Garden. I know we're not talking about that today, but I love that restaurant.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here at the restaurant here. I'm upstairs.
And, oh, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. This was the first baby, you know, this was 20 something years ago. In fact, I'm sitting at the table where Barack and Michelle Obama sat, Lady Gaga sat, Bill Clinton sat, Pat Benatar sat. I mean, the list goes on. This whole little area right here is like the holy ground of all the stars I've eaten here.
When I come in again, can I ask for the Barack Obama table?
Yes, you can.
Okay. I love it. So let me just a little bit of history of you. I mean, everybody knows who you are and your fame. I mean, everything from Oprah's personal chef, you've cooked for Nelson Mandela, and the list is endless. How did that happen? I mean, there's lots of chefs out there, but very few get to be that sort of star celebrity chef. And I know TV's part of your world, whatever, but what happened in your world that made you so popular, so famous?
How it started was I was a student at Florida State University.
Right.
Wasn't a great student. And the dean sent me over to the governor of Florida's home. And I started helping out at the governor's house. And I was really good at making food pretty. And I did it for free, so they loved me. And a special guest was coming to the house. They didn't have a chef. And they said, Art, they said, would you cook for our special guest? And this is where I learned you need to know who your audience is. And the special guest was Mikhail Baryshnikov.
Oh.
And I was 23 years old.
Wow.
And so I started with the governor around 22, 23, and 24. And that kind of threw me out there. And then I went yachting for a couple of years and went around the world on big, fancy, multi-million-dollar yachts. And then I came back and I started playing around with restaurants. And then I got on a train that brought me to Chicago. And I started teaching cooking lessons. And those cooking lessons were all for like very well-to-do people. And the problem was none of those people want to cook. They don't want you to teach them. They want you to entertain them, but they want you to cook the food. And I would go back frequently and visit. And then I wrote a book called Back to the Table that did really well. It was a New York Times bestseller. And I went to, go visit my old job, and Jeb Bush was governor then, and he and I became very good friends. So I started doing all of Jeb Bush's parties and stuff. And at the same time, I was doing stuff because in that same time at a party, I met a man named Andre Walker, who was Oprah's hairdresser. And then I was in Washington doing a party for Bill Clinton's inauguration for the first governor, who's now Senator Bob Graham. And it said, come to Harpo and make lunch. And so, you know, when opportunity knocks, you pay attention and you go. And I went and did lunch and never meeting her for 4 months. And then she hired me on the fourth month. But it's all started like that very organically. And it also started with just the fact that, you know, I had to kind of prove myself. But there was a lot of cooking lessons that I taught I did a lot of free stuff. I did a lot of different things like that. My whole objective was is just getting out there. And once I got out there, you know, the reality is if you know your audience and you get in front of the right audience, then that's all it is. And I got in front of the right audience, and the audience took me the rest of the way. And so, you know, and then with Oprah, I met a lot of people, you know, Cook for Mandela, Cook for Every Star in the Stratosphere. I got really intrigued with restaurants, and Oprah would always say, well, honey, you cook a lot of food, so you need to have a restaurant. Well, at that time she sold the farm, and I went to a party. Mary Fry, I don't know if you remember her. She was a writer for the Sun Times. She had a party at Gibson's, mm-hmm. and she said, I want you to meet the man that bought Oprah's farm. I said, good, I'd like to. And I met him, and I said, well, what does a man do that buys Oprah's farm? Because it's quite a bit of real estate. He said, well, I buy things. I buy real estate. I said, you do? Okay. And he started naming stuff off, and he named Biggs Mansion. And then I said, do you own the cottage behind it, the guest house? And he goes, yes. So what do you think? What are you thinking about it? I said, it needs to be a charming little restaurant. Boom. So I opened Table 52, which was the earlier restaurant. And then when the Oprah show moved, I renamed it Blue Door Kitchen and redecorated it. Both restaurants lasted. This restaurant now is the Blue Door lasted over 10 years. I mean, Table lasted over 10 years. And this one's gone over 10 years also. The restaurant's 20 years old.
Yeah.
And in the same room, just right behind me, is where I niched the Disney deal. And that we have our big restaurant homecoming at Disney. It's the fastest growing per square footage restaurant in all of Walt Disney World. 60 tons of fried chicken a year. And then I met a woman backstage named Lady Gaga on the Oprah show, and she and I became friendly. And then we created something called Art Bird. And at every amphitheater, park, Live Nation owns, there's an Art Bird. So we have that. We have 38 of those. And
don't you also have a restaurant that's owned by her parents?
Yeah, Joanne's. And so anyway, you know, it's just kind of grew that way. And, you know, now I'm interested in sports, and I'm going to go into sporting arenas and things of that sort. And a lot of things, from rugby to pickleball and everything. In fact, I'm throwing a big pickleball birthday party, you know, March 2nd at Chicago's first, you know, largest indoor pickleball center. And so, you know, it's interesting, you know, I'm 64 years old, and I try to keep current, you know, and, you know, keep fresh, because television media, you age real quickly. And
I know.
And so, you know, it's about the audience now, particularly in competitions and food shows, it tends to be on the young side. And so I'm trying to, you know, focus on what I'm known for and what people love me for. And you know, and just really just celebrate that.
Yeah.
And reunion came about the fact because I had moved away for a few years to take care of my mother. And we had adopted four kids, and my partner Manolis Apologiannis and came to me, said, let's do a restaurant at Navy Pier, and let's call it Reunion, about coming back to Chicago. And I said, it's a great idea. I said, we've been very successful at Disney with doing these big restaurants, so let's do one there. And so we together with his brother Mayor George Apologiannis and our partner and everything, we created this restaurant, because before there was just the Bubba Gumps, and we wanted to bring a more of a chef driven restaurant to Navy Pier. And so we were able to, and it's been, you know, been very successful. We just gone through a just jam restaurant week. It was very, very popular. The restaurant offers the Navy Pier audience a chef-inspired food, a lot of the same things that I'm known for many years. It has, you know, pricing that's much more comfortable than a lot of pricing in other restaurants. And You know, it's going really quite well.
Of course, the pricing is important at Navy Pier. You have families and, you know, so many people to come in. I had always, in my mind, before I learned all that I've learned about you, I've studied you now, but I had you as this New Orleans Southern kind of cooking, but really,
No.
I know your cooking is American Southern,
Right.
and I know Florida's strong in your background. So what is the difference between people who think New Orleans and realize, no, we're talking American Southern here?
Well, to many people in the South and to people of New Orleans, they're not the same cuisine. New Orleans is more French and Creole inspired. Southern American is more, you know, it comes from enslaved blacks from, you know, most of it, in fact, majority of the food. And then it's got a little tattering of English and Irish and, it's a totally different cuisine. And, it's not spicy. And it's probably in many ways not as refined as New Orleans cuisine. But I grew up on the border of Georgia and Florida. I'm a seventh generation Floridian, and we don't make jambalaya; we make perlo. You know, which is a derivative of paella from the Spanish. You find seafood in Southern American, but you've only find it on the coastal regions. When you're more inland, it's more pork and chicken. And some beef, and it's also very vegetable driven.
But you know, when you do things, for example, you mentioned jambalaya, and as I said, I had a feast at your restaurant one evening. But even that's a little, I see where maybe the American kicks in over the New Orleans, because it was jambalaya, but it was gnocchi jambalaya, and that's a twist.
Yeah, you know, I allow the chefs to play with it, because if you don't let them be creative, then they won't stay with you. You know, chefs get bored and complacent and tired and jaded if you don't let them kind of cook.
Are there certain things you say, look, these are staples, you don't get to play with these?
True. They don't mess with the fried chicken. They don't mess with the macaroni and cheese. They don't mess with the mashed potatoes. The other stuff I don't play with.
Okay. By the way, the hummingbird, I'm going to be honest with you, I couldn't wait for the hummingbird cake. They were out of it.
Well, if you look in this month's People magazine, Oprah's celebrating 70 years. Can you imagine?
Wow.
She's 70. And her birthday cake is my hummingbird cake. And you'll see a picture of the cake and Oprah and I and the recipe. So everybody in America can make Oprah's birthday cake.
Oh, well, this is good. Okay, now I can.
It's available in newsstands now, People magazine.
I know you cooked for Baryshnikov. What did he expect? I mean, he's got to keep his weight down. What'd you do?
He's a ballet dancer. You know, they eat more than you think, and they drink more than you think. The funny thing about when we had them, you know, my most fondest story is he brought the American Ballet with him. And the first lady had laid out her private dining room beautifully in silver, and they requested beer, but they wouldn't drink it out of the sterling silver goblets. They wanted it out of the can in the private dining room, which is the White House of Florida, which is kind of funny. So yeah. You've got these elegant ballet dancers, and they wanted to drink out of the beer cans, which I thought was kind of funny. But, you know, I always find that people in sports and people where they have to really use all their energy, they're pretty hefty eaters, and they're not as delicate as you think they are, because the reality is it's a workout for them every day.
So when you have people from different cultures, I mean, do you think about, no, you're going to have chef arts food, or do you think, okay, where are you from? You're from South Africa. I need to
Right.
cook for
you. I'll tell you a funny story about Mandela.
All right.
Well, so Oprah says to me, she goes, Art, Mr. Mandela is going to come see us. I said, oh, Nelson Mandela? She said, well, he's the only one I've ever heard of. And I laughed. And she said, well, Art, you know, this is Mr. Mandela's chef's number. You can call him up and ask him if there's anything particular he likes. So I called him up, and his chef said, well, he loves oxtail. And I'm like, that's perfect, because I'm Southern and we make oxtail. He loves biryani. Well, my best friend is Pakistani, and they're in fact, biryani goes back to the Mughals, to the Persians. It's that dish. And so I knew how to make that. He taught me how to make that and some other things. And We worked so hard because, everyone says green rooms are beautiful. They're not. They're ugly and very not. They're not. Green rooms in general. Now, yours at WGN are a lot better, but in general, they're not. And so we redecorated it.
I'll take the compliment, but I don't think you're right. But go ahead.
But we stole all the furniture from the book club set and rugs and stuff. And Mr. Mandela came. And anyway, I was in the kitchen on the other side of the building. That building was huge. And I hear someone from the stage crew say, Miss Winfrey would like to see you. And I'm like, oh, what did I do? So I run over there. I run over there and she goes and she says, Art, I would like for you to meet Mr. Mandela. And I'm like, oh, I don't get starstruck. I have met a lot of people. Okay. Five presidents, you name it, stars right. The stratosphere, et cetera. But anyway, I meet him and I remember just saying it's such an honor. And I was moving around a little bit and just very just gracious. And then, about 2 days later, the best time to talk with Oprah was during breakfast, because in those days, cell phones weren't so popular. And so the world was quiet. And, because when the world woke up, Oprah's phone was on fire. And so I would get to talk to her for breakfast, and I made her favorite omelet. And I'm making it, and I said, Miss Winfrey, I said, Mr. Mandela was just downright biblical. She said, well, honey, I wasn't sure you were going to curtsy or bow to him. I said, well, ma'am, at least my bases were covered. Because, to me, he was and still is the icon of, the king of humanitarian. And, he was an amazing man. I mean, if you ever have the opportunity to go to Cape Town and take a boat to Robben Island, you see that cell that he lived in, that he was jailed in for all those years, and you think, how did that man stay in that cell all those years and yet still believe in a South Africa? And through all of that, which is totally amazing, I think it's very important.
27 years, February 11th is the anniversary of his release from the prison.
Oh, wow.
By the way, Art, this rock that you see, I kind of lifted this when I was at the prison in Robben Island. There's a little area where they said that Nelson Mandela used to sit and write, and that's where he wrote the books, and he'd have to hide them.
Yeah.
And so I kind of picked up a rock as a little reminder of freedom and all that.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that area. It was kind of out there, this kind of, because Robben is kind of barren. You know what I mean? It's like a barren island. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And do you remember when you took the boat over there? You remember just how... Where did you notice in the water all the different sea creatures? There was like seals and all kinds of other stuff.
It was amazing. I mean, the island was a pit. It's really all about that prison.
Right.
But the ride over, you probably saw dinner not floating below you.
And then, it's like shark infested those waters and everything. Yeah. It's a beautiful place. Cape Town is gorgeous. You go see the penguins?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the penguin colony, yeah. It's
and
a great
area
place.
Where the birds, where there's also birds that they like would fly onto your hand. You can feed the birds out of your hand.
Yeah.
Some other area. It was an amazing place.
Yeah, it's so fun. It's a beautiful part of the world, and you're at the tip of the world. I was at the tip of South America a couple of months ago in Patagonia, and I kept thinking, Jesus and I were saying we've both been to, the Cape Town and now to the tip of South America. But anyway, it was a very lovely experience.
Sure. And do you ever think of when you go to a place like that or another country, or just make it easier and just say London, somewhere like that? But do you ever look and say, I want to open a restaurant here? Or is it?
Oh, yeah, I do. And, I'm all for it. And, I'm more like every place I go, I want to move there. Like when I'm not here. I just got a call today. I work in Lisbon where I cook, for the ambassador to Portugal and Madam Ambassador, Randy Levine. And I do all her parties, and I'm getting ready to go do a big event for Black History Month. And we're going to be cooking with a chef from Cape Verde. And because, the Portuguese and Cape Verde and that part of Africa were the gateway of slavery, and a lot of amazing history, a lot of sad history, but a lot of incredible, delicious food. And, so I'm looking forward to that.
Your kids are relatively young. I'm sort of just curious. when I was growing up, if my mom made something that I wasn't going to eat, she made me something else. She was not one of those moms who said, you'll eat this or you'll starve. Are your kids foodies? Are they getting to be foodies? And or if you make something, dad makes something they don't want, do you right. make them a hamburger?
Well, my oldest son is a foodie. My second oldest son is sort of, but not. You know, a chicken nugget kind of nation. You know,
I'll get along with him just fine.
But they eat a lot of stuff, you know.
So if you do make something, do you clear it with everybody, or you make it?
Yeah,
and they just
well,
go
we just
it?
We try to make them happy. Yeah.
Yeah. And where do they, are they primarily in Florida? Do they follow you around?
No, they're here with me. They go to school there in Hyde Park.
Uh-huh. Okay, perfect. And I'm curious. So as a family, then it's always, that's important for you, right? To be able to kind of do your food world and run the restaurants and take care
right.
of your family.
Make it all work.
And then let's come back to reunion. And because again, I had the navy bean soup, the chocolate pecan pie. I mean, oh, by the way, the drinks. You know, everybody thinks about the food, but I want to give a shout out to the bartender and the drinks, the orange blossom sweet tea and some of the alcoholic drinks. That's also part of, I'm guessing, the chef art magic is the drinks being served at the bar.
Well, you know, the funny thing about it, when I opened this restaurant, if you ever remember the old restaurant, you couldn't find a bar. And I grew up in the South, and quite honest with you, we're quite well known for, if we're drinking, we carry a flask and we hide it. You know, to actually show liquor is kind of impolite. And not my household. We're Baptists. You know, so you put a flask there. And my great-grandfather was a moonshiner, and that's why I have a moonshine bar in Disney. But when we redid the restaurant, we put a bar that you could see, and I learned that you can't own a restaurant, a successful restaurant, without a bar. And I also think too that one thing I like is there's been this incredible interest in great cocktails and stuff, and so you get a lot of bartenders now that are talented. You know, they call them bar chefs. You know, they're able to, you know, do all these incredible mixtures together. It's like alchemy. It's like chemistry. You know, to make it taste good. You know, not everything tastes good mixed together.
Is that a chef art thing, or do you basically bring somebody in and say, no, the bar is your area, Mr. Bartender?
They try to work with the menu. They'll ask me questions. You like this and this, and I'll tell them, yeah.
Okay. Now, if you do get a request from, let's say you're going to do some fancy dinner for somebody, and they ask for something, and let's just say, maybe at this point, you know how to make everything, but if there's something you didn't know how to make, are there chefs you turn to Paul Prudhomme, whoever, where you'll say, I'm going to see how they did this, or do you say, no, it's got to be chef art, I'm going to do my own thing, I'll figure it out?
Well, I come from a place, remember, I came from a private place of working for very influential, wealthy people, and one thing that's not in their vocabulary is no. No, it's never an option. What I do, if there's something particular they want, I do my research, I find it, and I pull it off. Everyone, I love Julia. I actually invested in a new movie about Marcella Hasan. Do you remember Marcella Hasan?
I don't know that name.
She was the Julia Child for Italian. The reason we have spaghetti bolognese and made popular throughout America is because of her.
Oh, wow.
She was a PBS, and she's been in many books, and has an incredible story. Julia was the French, she was Italian.
Oh, wow. So when you are putting things together, is it also fun for you to create new recipes? How creative do you get? Or is it like sticking with recipes, you know, and making them the best that they can be?
I have the same chef for 20 years, the same chef from here. And I just say to Chef Hector Guerrero, I say, Hector, I was thinking about this. What do you think? Okay, Chef, I like that. I say, can you pull it off? He said, yeah. Not everything that I come up with it works in the restaurant. So I first say, okay, this is what I want. Can we pull it off? Can we make it work? And that's what we do.
And when you say that, by the way, can you give me an example of when you say, this is what I want? What dish might you be talking about?
I mean, well, you know, a good example, like recently we put, I love gumbo. I mean, we don't really make gumbo from where I'm from, but I like it. And I put it on I said, can we make it? He said, yes. And then he made it. And it was better than any gumbo I ever had in New Orleans.
Wow.
He made an incredible roux. It was very nice. Another thing we did, when I was a little kid, I grew up in a lot of my life in North Miami. And my mother was from there. And my mother, when I was a little kid, would, you know, when children are young, they form their palates. And my mother would put all this deli food in my mouth, and I loved it. And one of her most favorite sandwiches was a pastrami sandwich. And so I said, I want to put a pastrami sandwich on the menu in honor of my mother. So we did.
How many items when I go, whether it's Reunion or Blue Door or some of the ones, you know, elsewhere, I guess I can talk Chicago Q. I could toss that in there too, right? In barbecue.
Right. Yeah. It's great, great restaurant. Chicago Q came about. I don't know if you're aware of this. I was a judge on a very famous show in America called TLC Barbecue Pitmasters.
And Leanne Whitman was part of that.
Yeah, and that's where she was a contestant.
Right.
Right. And she didn't win, but she was a contestant. Yes.
Forgot that part.
And where that comes from, and I have a big philosophy when I've done those competition shows, it ain't about winning, it's about being remembered. So she was remembered. And it's a really funny story about she was saying, I'm making these ribs. They remind me so much of my father. And she's going on about it and everything. And Myron Mixon is a trip. And I said to Myron, I said, I'm so sorry about her father. She said, he looks at me. He ain't dead, Art. But
She knew television.
She knew how to like wrap me around her finger. But it was delicious. She's a very talented chef.
I love it. Do you like going off in the barbecue world, which is one of my favorites? Is there another cuisine one day where we see a chef art restaurant, which is something totally new?
I'm going to probably say in my wheelhouse. I'm very fond of Asian, and one of my most favorite restaurants in Chicago, and the first Michelin Chinese restaurant. It was known when it first came here as the Phoenix. And then Jay Court, and now they open in Hyde Park, and sadly they're closing, but it's really the best Chinese food in all of Chicago. And anyway, it was, you know, it's so that maybe I'll do Asian. I think so.
All right. I'll eat there.
Okay.
My partner's Filipino, so we'll eat there.
Yes, sir. I love Filipino food. I love pancit, and I love lumpia and adobo and all those different foods. And Filipino food is very hot.
How about sisig?
Yeah, I like it too.
Okay, I won't eat that because I know what's in it. or at least according to what
you
said.
Yeah, I love bagon and with green mango. I love that. Yeah, I love it.
By the way, I mean, while we just have a couple of minutes, I do want to give a shout out to you've received Humanitarian of the Year awards from the James Beard Foundation. You do so much to help young people and stuff. While we can talk food the whole time, I want to do a shout out to the work you do to help young people.
Well, thank you. You know, the James Beard, they were very lovely for presenting me that. And I also won for my cookbook, Back to the Table. You know, I'm a 2-time James Beard Award winner.
Yes.
And we won for our wonderful kids program, which we started 20 years ago in Hyde Park. And the whole premise of the program is if you teach a kid how to cook, you can teach them many lessons. And we work with at-risk kids throughout the communities. We're in now 9 cities. We're in all of the boroughs of New York City, Miami, most LA, most major cities in Chicago. We're in all the major cities. And we teach around 350 to 400,000 kids a year a free cooking lesson.
That is fantastic. And, you know, look, we know the mayor, the city, they do so many programs. I talk about them all the time to, you know, after school programs, that kind of thing. But it sounds like what you're saying is it's one thing to let a kid play some sports after school. You're talking about a skill that if you get a young person who's into food and all of that, what an amazing way to develop.
Well, it is. It teaches you many lessons. It teaches math skills, organizational skills. It teaches, most importantly, how together and you can come together and you can make delicious.
I also know some years ago you were diagnosed with diabetes, and so you have a healthy comfort book that you wrote in 2013. It looks like that medical condition, which I keep trying to avoid in my life, I keep playing on the edge of it. But that being said, it looks like you're very aware and you're taking food also in a healthy direction for those who want that.
Well, I try. I mean, you know, the fact is if you have type 2 or type 1, you can live a normal life. It's just all about choices and about amounts that you eat. And, you know, I remember I did a teleconference to a very sensitive part of the world that's going on now. And the women of the community were saying to me, the food of our ancestors is making us sick. And what I have found in the Middle East and parts of the world, where water was not necessarily thus easy to obtain, what happened was this people substituted water for soft drinks. And I'm convinced that these heavily sugared drinks, like Fanta, is all over the world. In South Africa, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And what's making people sick is the soda. And you know, when you drink something that's so sugar laden like that, it just shocks your system. And if you stay away from things like that, you'll be surprised about how much of the other food you can eat.
That's actually interesting but when it comes to dessert, look, you're also known for your dessert. So
the great thing about dessert is this: remember, dessert is meant to be shared. If you get a piece of cake, share it with the one you love, or whomever, and then you can turn right around and take it home with you and share it again and again and again. Do not try to eat a whole piece of cake. There you are.
Fair enough.
You can have your cake too, but you have to be conscious about what you eat.
By the way, I think they should do a new version of the bear and have it concentrate on you and your recipes.
Okay. Yeah, I you know what? I have not watched that show.
Is that right?
I think that he's hotter than hot. I think, you know, he's a really gorgeous man. And I think it and a lot of people, my friend Rick Bayless, thinks it's the demise of the restaurant industry. But I want to tell you something. Anthony Bourdain, years and years ago, wrote the book Kitchen Confidential and let out all the stuff about what kitchens were really like.
Yeah.
So they're not doing or saying anything that Anthony Bourdain has already said.
I love it. What makes chefs special? I got to tell you, and I'm sure you knew Paul Prudhomme while he was
alive.
Yeah,
very well.
I was in New Orleans once, and I just wanted to meet him and say hi. And they sent a note back to him. He invited me back after dinner. He was training 11 Russian chefs. And he brought me back to spend the evening in the kitchen as he was showing them recipes and such. And he didn't know me from Adam. But to me, it's that warmth of the chef. There's something in your blood that makes you people friendly.
When I first met Paul, he was the chef at Commander's Palace, another wonderful, incredible place. And then I met him at Kay Paul's with his late wife. Paul was the most gregarious, kind, sweet, loving, really fantastic cook of a man. He was bigger than life, both physically and both in personality, and really had just a wonderful way with people.
I have in my book, Back to the Table, I said, I don't want no angry food from angry people. I have to tell you, good food, good people make good food, okay? So remember that. He was a really dear man.
Well, I will hold on to good food make good people, I'll tell you. And good people make good food, too, sometimes, because you're a good person making good food. I thank you so much. You know, the website I have for Reunion to Give People is reunionrestaurants.com. But, you know, we've talked about Blue Door, and you've got other, where do you want people to go to check out where they might want to eat in your restaurant?
The easiest thing for them to go to is chefartsmith.com. And we have all the restaurants, all the books, everything about Art Smith is on one page, and we can show you everything about it. And we really appreciate all the love and all the people. And I'm so great and happy to be back in Chicago, this wonderful reunion here at Navy Pier with all this wonderfulness. And, you know, everybody in the world goes to Navy Pier. And thank you for coming to my baby Blue Door here. And when you come, you can sit here at the Barack Obama table. Or you can name your president, and they sat here, okay? All right.
I love it. Chef Art Smith, thank you, my friend. Be well.
Thank you very much, sir. My pleasure.
Thanks for your time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.